So hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin and we are from Third Space and we're here for another week of our unfolding week by week turning towards life conversation podcast and practice, and you are all so welcome to be with us. Lizzie, I probably say the same thing in the same way every week, but it's true. I'm really happy to be doing this and having the chance to benefit from being with you and being in conversation with you and also striking off together on a path that's opened up by this amazing source that you've brought to us to begin with this week. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thanks, Justin. So here we go with our source for this week. And as we always say, you can find us on our website, turningtowards.life, where we'll post a video after this, where you can watch and find all of the resources, all of the past conversations you want to. You could also find the source on Facebook, where we go live, and in the show notes of any of the main podcast platforms that you might be listening from. So we're going to read together, me first, then Justin, and then we're going to see where the conversation takes us as usual. So here we go. At any time, you can ask yourself, at which threshold am I now standing? At this time in my life, what am I leaving? Where am I about to enter? What is preventing me from crossing my next threshold? What gift would enable me to do it? A threshold is not a simple boundary. It's a frontier that divides two different territories, rhythms and atmospheres. Indeed, it is a lovely testimony to the fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life that it intensifies toward the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. At this threshold, a great complexity of emotion comes alive: confusion, fear, excitement, sadness, hope. This is one of the reasons such vital crossings were always clothed in ritual. It is wise in your own life to be able to recognize and acknowledge the key thresholds, to take your time, to feel all the varieties of presence that accrue there, to listen inward with complete attention until you hear the inner voices calling you forward. The time has come to cross.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm going to read it again and just invite all of us who are here to do what I'm going to do, which is just to take a moment, because you might be in the middle of something or you might have your attention elsewhere. And John O'Donohue's words are wonderful portals in themselves. At any time, you can ask yourself, at which threshold am I now standing? At this time in my life, what am I leaving? Where am I about to enter? What is preventing me from crossing my next threshold? What gift would enable me to do it? A threshold is not a simple boundary. It is a frontier that divides two different territories, rhythms, and atmospheres. Indeed, it is a lovely testimony to the fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life that it intensifies towards the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. At this threshold, a great complexity of emotion comes alive: confusion, fear, excitement, sadness, hope. This is one of the reasons such vital crossings were always clothed in ritual. It is wise in your own life to be able to recognize and acknowledge the key thresholds, to take your time, to feel all the varieties of presence that accrue there, to listen inward with complete attention until you hear the inner voice calling you forward. The time has come to cross.
Thank you, Justin, for reading that so steadily and in a way that really could land with me. Oh, as you were reading, I was thinking how many times there have been these thresholds and the kind of cultural narrative is just get on with things. And so much is happening on the inside. And yet the way we get met on the outside is to just, you know, get on with things. And I love how John O'Donohue honors this, like when you really are at a threshold, and how he speaks of it turning into a frontier where your heart has to be engaged and alive. My goodness, it's so, so different to the way that any threshold has ever been treated. I mean, up until a few years ago, probably, in my life. All of the thresholds of becoming, growing up, were just kind of buried because nobody knew or had language around me anyway for the fact that it was never a simple boundary. There was a lot going on. And so the speaking of the different territory, rhythm, and atmosphere makes so much sense to me. Like, you know, having a baby, for example, like what a massive frontier where everything shifts. It's such a big, huge, significant threshold. And what's really with me now is when it doesn't get honored this way, how hurtful it can feel, how alienating it can feel, how withdrawn it can make me. It's really beautiful to feel the way that John O'Donohue talks about the fullness and integrity of an experience, rather than, oh, you've got too many feelings going on, you just need to get over yourself and get on with it. That versus fullness and integrity of an experience is so, those things are so different to one another. And the naming of the fullness and the significance of an experience, that it's worth talking about, that it's worth having support for, that it's worth developing your language for, that it's worth spending time with and honoring and taking your time and feeling what's present now in the thresholdness of it, instead of trying to push it away and get on with it and wait till you wake up and it's all happened or something. So I'm really appreciating this and feel so drawn, because I think these thresholds are just everywhere. They really are everywhere. And I know that there are people who are these ceremonial folks, these ritualistic people who hold people through these places. And what an amazing job, you know, what an amazing piece of humanness to be someone who ushers us through frontiers and thresholds. So beautiful.
I'm thinking about lots of things. So I also love this language and how it honors something that we have been discouraged from honoring in our culture. And I think probably what's happened is with the sort of demise of public religion, religious institutions, for their good and for their not so good, held the role of marking these and often did it very well, and often do it very well, of marking transitions. Although they may mark some and not others. So this point that John O'Donohue makes, that everything is potentially one of these. I'm drawn to two sort of different scales. So one is the sort of very ordinary scale, and I was thinking about the fullness of an experience, the testimony to a fullness of an experience of going on Saturday night with my daughter Maya to a concert at Wembley Stadium here in London, and being swept up in the fullness of the experience, and then it ending. And what do we do at that point when it ends? Do we go, oh, and ignore it and just sort of, oh, there's another thing? Or do we try to hold on to it? Like, I've done that a lot. Oh, I want to hold on to the particular feeling of being here now, and I can't bear that it's going to end. Or do we, even with something ordinary like that, do we honor that it ends, or that a meal ends, or that sleep ends? You know, how we what might happen if we were to mark these everyday frontiers where we move from one experience into another experience and life is different, if we started to have even like mini markings or rituals for them.
Yeah.
And again, many spiritual paths have that. So in my own tradition, there are blessings to be said on waking up, and they're rather lovely. Mm. They're sort of like, thank you, I'm here. Oh my goodness. And now I'm opening my eyes. Oh my. And, but they're sort of marking, they're marking that, that frontier place where we move from one thing to another. So I'm sort of wondering about that and about how the, this thing that you said, maybe I'll just say this for now, and there's something else that I might say later, but this thing that you said, Lizzie, that everything is one of these. And yes, there are people who have dedicated their lives to being the makers of rituals, maybe for the bigger events, the births and the deaths and the changes of identity that come with all of us as we move from one thing to another, or as we age, or as people come and go and all of that. But it's really leaving me with the rituals of ordinariness.
Mm.
I'm just going from working, I'm going from some intense work to a break. Can I acknowledge that? I'm just sitting down for a cup of tea with someone I care about. And now we're finishing tea and I'm going back to something else. Can we acknowledge it? Could we honor that life is a continual movement between frontiers? From one, what does John O'Donoghue say? It's great. Between different territories, rhythms, and atmospheres. We could make that really sacred if we wanted.
Mm-hmm. You're making me think about bedtime. You know, the tender thing falling asleep is, you know, the ordinariness of going to sleep. And of course, the territory, rhythm, and atmosphere of sleepness is very different to wakeness. And sometimes it's hard to go to sleep. Whoever we are, whether we're a toddler or a baby or an adult or a teenager, or, and it's such a curious, important threshold that mostly I hear we're trying to wish away the whole time. Like, I don't know, our relationship to these things is so, to transitions is so kind of let them be gone, let's get this over with or something. And I understand that, you know, I really understand that. I understand that part of myself that when I'm thinking about it now, you know, I get impatient or I get rushy or I get like, it brings up something that I don't, it's not in my preferences. Like waiting and having to stop or something. But it, if I could see things like this, if I could see things as frontiers and thresholds, who does it turn me into in that moment? Maybe it turns me into a kind of kind usher or a supportive friend taking someone's hand and being with them on the frontier. And maybe it also allows me to ask for people to be with me on my frontiers too, because I can acknowledge that there is a frontier. And yeah, I feel so moved by the whole going to sleep thing all of a sudden and how tender it is. And everyone's doing it all the time. And no one really talks about going to sleep. I don't hear many people talk about going to sleep. And I know lots of people have difficult things going on around going to sleep, like if you have insomnia or, you know, bad dreams or whatever. There's lots going on there. And yet it's not really like something that everyone talks about very much. And it's a huge transition. Like what even goes on when we're asleep? What's even going on? We just basically go into a completely different realm. Like, no wonder it's a big deal. We might have the odd dream. Some people maybe remember all their dreams. Some people never remember them, whatever. But really, the contact we have with that realm is minimal in terms of the consciousness that we walk around with every day. So why wouldn't it be a kind of big deal of a letting go? To let go of this world that you and I know right now and then enter into some realm with our eyes closed. In this moment, it feels like a really significant thing.
It's amazing hearing you talk about it. And I'm with you. I was really touched by what you said about understanding why we rush past these transitions, because I understand it too. And I wonder if partly what we're doing is to cross a threshold is to say goodbye to one thing and hello to another thing. So there's always loss in it, as well as maybe some kind of gain or opening in it. And if we were to really honor the thresholds, we would be the ones who would mark time. We would honor time. And if we'd honor time, we'd have to honor death. We have to honor that things finish. We have to, you know, we have to not be in the frame of, I just want to keep everything the same, hold on to everything. So we fight against the, I think there's a way in which it's very easy for us to fight against the march of time, and completely understandable that we do that. But I think on balance, as we're talking about it, I would prefer, and this is awakening something in me that I'm really interested in this conversation, this feel myself being changed by the conversation. I would prefer to mark time and sanctify time and make it significant and meaningful in the way that John O'Donohue says than to try to fight it or ignore it. And of course, every going to sleep and every waking, as well as a mark of that mysterious move into another realm that we barely understand or know about, might have some glimpse of, it's also a mark that another day turned. Mm. A day that at one point was anticipated and now has been and now won't be again, not directly. So we could just go, well, that's not really happening, which is the obvious thing to try to do. But also the sleep one's really interesting as well, because in a way sleep is where we're safe. You know, maybe we're curled up, but also sleep is risky because we are abandoning our ordinary wakeful selves to enter into this other realm. We're really vulnerable when we sleep. There's a lot of letting go that happens when we sleep, and it's ordinary and everyday, but it's not, I mean, just from what you said, Lizzie, it's not really that ordinary. It's actually crazily, strangely weird. It doesn't fit any paradigm we have of our waking, of our ordinary, organized, I'm on top of things, I know what's going on here, rational lives. I mean, like every day we have to let ourselves go into a total mystery. And I actually think if we were to invent even little rituals for ourselves that go, when I know I'm crossing a frontier, I've got into my bed and I'm getting ready to cross this frontier. And then when we wake in the morning to go, oh, I've just crossed another frontier, I think we would imbue our experience. We would honor, in the way that John O'Donohue's writing does so beautifully, we would do that for ourselves. We would start to hold the depth and the wonder and the realness of this thing that we're doing again and again.
I'm really moved by this thing of, you know, when we're moving through these frontiers, that things have to die. And I think I'm coming at this because I have a toddler and this is my life at the moment, but it really is like, as you said, it's changing me to feel like, oh my gosh, when we have to leave somewhere and go somewhere else, an atmosphere, a rhythm, a territory is dying. Like, that really helps me to relate in a more sensible way than quick, we got to go somewhere. Because to her, she doesn't know what the next thing is. She doesn't know why we're doing anything. She's just going, something's dying, Mum, and I have to let it go. Can you just let me do that steadily and calmly and not throw me into a car or something? So I'm really moved by her relationship to life. You know, maybe it is this, maybe it isn't this, but if I see it like this, I think it's a really helpful gentling into the frontier moments and the thresholds, and honoring them as they might be, probably are being experienced by all of us, but I've just cut all of that off or something. You know, as adults, we're rushing from place to place, carrying on as if none of this is all going on. And of course it is. So there's a kind of way that I think this little girl in my life can show me what's actually happening with me. You know, like that she's more present to what's actually happening than I am in so many of these times. So I'm really appreciating this invitation, Justin, to kind of wonder about what's dying and what it means for human beings to let things go. And how tricky that is. And same for sleep and bedtime and anything. And also I'm finding it really like, I don't know, it really helps me to kind of know that I'm also this child too inside. Like that I'm not that. I'm sensitive to bedtime. I need my little security things. I want those markers to tell me who I am in those moments. I need physical touch. I need comforting things and warmth and sameness and all of those things. And I could pretend I didn't, but it would be denying a part of me that's very tender and forever a young person and the inside of an older person. So honoring all those parts and letting that be here in the world of how we operate and what we do and marking those things. And Justin, I see you all the time being so thorough and sensitive to these transitions as well. You know, the way that you mark moving from one space to another in a workshop that we're in, or the way that you honor a hello or a goodbye, or shifting from one thing to the next and checking in. And it's so moving to feel that patience and to feel that spaciousness afforded to other humans through you.
Yeah, thank you for seeing that, Lizzie. I'm really, it's such an excellent way of talking about the honoring the young one in us. Because I can see how if we don't honor that, it leads quite quickly to the let me pretend the transition isn't happening. Because there's a sensitive one. There's one in us that's really sensitive to these movements. Mm. I mean, it also reminds me what it's like getting a toddler out of the house or something. So that's the thing I'm relearning is, oh, that's a big deal. No wonder it's a big deal. Because when you're two, you haven't yet learned the cover up move that we as adults go, oh, it's no big deal. I'll go out of the house. No. It's a big deal to move from one territory, rhythm and atmosphere to another. We ought to honor it. And the little ones in us could do with it being honored. And it reminds me the big threshold that I can feel. I remember sitting on New Year's Eve, 7 days after our oldest son, Noam, was born, sitting, holding him, hearing the New Year's Eve fireworks going off, and having part of me that went, I'm not ready for this life that's unfolding here. How quickly can I be back out celebrating New Year's Eve? What's it going to take? What do we have to do? And also having part of me that knew that something giant had happened and it was appropriate for us and for him that we slowed everything down and we didn't just try to have life be ordinary again in the way that it was. I could feel both movements. And I'm glad that I knew enough then to honor the transition in the way that you were just talking about. And now, today, he's 21 and away, and our other two are old enough to be off doing their own things, and the house is really quiet. And they'll be home, but they'll also not be home. And another transition is brewing. And I can feel the parts of me that go, oh, can't we hold on to this that's been, where the house is full and busy and noisy and chaotic and conflictual and loving and bustling and bursting over. And this conversation reminds me that we're approaching another threshold on the other side of which, with a great complexity of emotion, on the other side of which is another world, and it's going to take fullness of heart, passionately engaged and being woken up to navigate this in a way that honors what's really happening here. We could just try and go, stay. But the other thing is we could also just ignore what this transition is for each of them.
Yeah.
So they each move, you know, move off to live in a different place for at least part of the year whilst they're studying. Could just go, oh, see you. Because that would mean not feeling all the feelings about it. Or we could just pause and we could go, something really big is happening in all of our lives. And I feel really moved to do that. Yeah. And it's reminding me of a friend who took her son round every room of the house the day before he left to go and live in another house so that they could visit and they could say a kind of goodbye to each room of the house, because those rooms would never be the same to him after this moment where he had a different place to live than this house. And how simple that was. No fanciness required, but how meaningful, deeply, deeply, deeply meaningful it was. And life shifting and freeing to honor the transition in that way. So I feel myself sort of aspiring to be that one, both for going to sleep and making a cup of tea and for children moving out to student accommodation and all of it.
Yeah. As usual, Justin, it feels like a conversation that could go on forever. Like we could just have a whole life conversation about thresholds. There's like so many things we could delve into. And it's really, I have to say, I really love it when this kind of conversation starts in the realms of parenting. I can't help it. Like, I don't think that we're only parenting when we have children in our care. I feel like we can do this for anyone in a parenting kind of way, you know, with a generosity and a care and a kind of thoughtfulness about other people's experience that comes from our contactfulness with our own. That really ushers, we're kind of mutual ushers of each other's lives through these changes, which are just happening all the time, aren't they? So I'm really appreciating the conversation, really appreciating the wisdom of John O'Donohue and his way of seeing and feeling and sensing the world and how we get to be continually gifted with it. So beautiful. And thank you, Justin, for always ushering these times through in our lives. And thank you to the relationship we have, to this that we have, you know, we're in some way, this is a huge, big testament to the transitions, because we could look back. I haven't looked back actually on our first conversation for a long time, but you know, we're different people now. It's like everything's changing all the time. Sometimes I look back and see what haircut I had and then ask the hairdresser for the same one. Do a screen grab and say, I like that haircut. Mostly I look slightly disheveled though, I think, when I'm here, but sometimes I have quite a good haircut and I think, oh, I'm going to take note of that. But you know, everything is different. We are different all the time, and I'm grateful to have this marking all those times as well in our development. So thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you for being here. And we'll be back next week again, as usual, with another source that Justin will choose next time. And we'll see you soon.
We will. Bye-bye, everyone.